Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Shishi, the Laws of Torah Study, the sixth chapter. The fifth chapter was dedicated to the obligation of a student to show respect and reverence towards his teacher, particularly his Rebbe Muvuk, who was his outstanding, unique teacher, the person who molded his character and taught him most of his wisdom. The sixth chapter is dedicated to the general obligation on all of the Jewish people to show reverence and respect to Talmidei Chachamim, to Torah sages who embody and personify in their entire life the holiness, the purity, the refinement, the wisdom, the ethics, and the depth and truth of the godliness of Torah. Then the Rambam is going to continue to discuss the terrible sin of embarrassing a Talmid Chacham, and he's going to begin the discussions of when certain situations, a ban is imposed upon a person until this person changes his or her ways, which is going to conclude the sixth chapter and continue also in the next seventh chapter. Pedik Shishi Alocha Aleph. Kol Talmud Chacham Mitzvah Lahadrev Afal Pisheni Rabbi. There is a mitzvah to show glory to every single Torah sage, even if he's not my teacher. Before, we discussed the special duty to show honor to my Rebbe, but this is a duty on every Jew, vis-a-vis every Talmud Chacham. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Parashas Kedoshim, Pnei Seva Tokum, you should stand up before the elderly, Vahadarta Pnei Zakim, and beautify or show glory to the elderly. Now, this seems redundant. You already said to stand up in the presence of the elderly. So the Rambam says, the second half of the pasuk is actually talking not only about a zakin, literally a person who's older, which we're going to discuss in a moment, but zakin is an acronym of two words. Ze shekana, zayin is ze, kufnun is kana, ze shekana, the one who acquired. Now, what did he acquire that the Torah should say that you're obligated to show glory to him? A large portfolio, a lot of real estate, ze shekana chachma, somebody who acquired wisdom, which is, of course, the most important and vital acquisition in life. So this is the mitzvah of Hadarta, to show glory to Pnei Zaken, to somebody who acquired the wisdom of Torah and becomes a person who personifies and lives and breathes and embodies that wisdom. At from what distance is one obligated to stand up in the presence of the Torah sage? In chapter 5, we learned that when it comes to your Rebbe, you stand up the moment you see him, and you don't sit down until you can't see him anymore. What about the Talmud Chacham, who is not your Rebbe? Mishayikra b'meno b'arba amos. The moment he comes close to him, within the 4 cubits of where I'm sitting, arba amos would be approximately between 6 and 8 feet. So if he's 20 feet away from me, I don't have to stand up. Once he comes in to the area of arba amos, of 4 cubits, then I stand up. Actually, I have a mekineged panav until he passes before his face, and the moment he passes me, I could sit down once again. Halacha beis einoim din mipanav lemi beis hamerchus v'lemi beis hakisa. You do not stand up in the presence of a talmud chacham, not in the bathing house or in the bathroom. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Tokum v'hadarta." You should stand up and show glory to him. So, kima sheyesh bahidur. This means you stand up only when the standing up is actually displaying glory and honor and respect to the Talmud Chacham, not in a place where you are not going to be displaying respect to him. And therefore, in the bathroom or in the bathing house, the Rambam says you don't have to stand up before him. People who are involved in their work, while they are engaged in their labor, they are not obligated to stand up. Even if the Talmud Chacham comes into their foramas, why not? Shenema, the Pasuk says, Tokum v'hadarta. You should stand up and beautify him. So we learn from this, Mahidu shein b'chesrin kis, afkimu shein b'chesrin kis. Just like when the Torah says, I'm obligated to show glory to somebody, it's not something that requires financial loss. Showing respect to somebody is not something that will cost me money. So the takum also, I have to stand up. I'm not obligated to do it in a time, under circumstances which is actually going to cause financial loss. If somebody is engaged in labor and they take a break, this is going to cause financial loss. So therefore, takum v'hadarta, the juxtaposition of these two words tells me, stand up for the Talmud Chacham. But if I'm engaged in work and it could cause financial loss, then I'm not obligated because it has to be a kima she'en by chesrinkis. So the Rambam says, you're not obligated. Are you allowed to? You're allowed to if you want, but you're not obligated. As Poskim say, this is if I'm engaged in my own labor. If I'm working for somebody else, then I'm not allowed to stand up because now I'm causing somebody else financial loss. How do you know if I see a Talmud Chachim getting close? He did not yet come into my four amas. So I'll close my eyes. I don't see him. If I don't see him, I don't have to stand up. He won't see him. So then he doesn't have to stand up because once he's in his Dalet Amas, he doesn't see him. And he closed his eyes before. Talmud Lema, that's where the Pasuk continues. The next words, but they say we're talking about that. You should fear God. What's the connection? You should fear God. Stand up before the elderly. Show respect to a Talmud Chacham. And you should fear God. What's the connection? The Rambam says, every mitzvah that is dependent on the heart of the person, meaning people cannot see externally what is going on, the Torah tells us, fear God, because God knows what's happening inside your heart. So if I close my eyes, I didn't see the Talmud Chacham, it's not a sign of denigration, but Hashem really knows that I did see him earlier and I closed my eyes. So it says, V'yareisa me'elekecha, halacha gimel. Ein ro, even though we said that the people are obligated to show this respect, ein ro yelechacham sheyatriya chesam v'yichavan atzmalan k'te sheyamdu miponav. It's inappropriate for real Talmud Chacham to cause the people to exert themselves, to impose a burden upon them, and directly know that I'm going to now pass by so that they will all stand up for me. He should try to go in the shortest possible way to his destination, where he's going to pass by the least amount of people so he doesn't have to impose this burden on them. And if possible, he tries that nobody to avoid anybody's a sight, nobody should, to avoid anybody seeing him, so that he shouldn't impose a burden on this person to have to stand up for him. The sages, they would take a long way and go in the path of outskirts of the city. They would go around and around, where people who know them are not common there. So they shouldn't impose a burden on people to stand up before them. And this is a part of a halacha. The Rambam is telling us a story, not just to tell stories. This is a sefer of halacha, that the true Talmud Chacham is truly sensitive to people's time and to people's energy and to people's respect, and therefore, as much as possible, he's going to try to avoid this. In other words, somebody who's this gives us also insight into the halacha. The reason we have to respect the Talmud Chacham is because he has so much respect for people. That's part of this halacha. That's why you're respecting him. It's not respect that builds an ego and is about pompousness and hubris. It's respect towards a person who's completely saturated with the refinement of Torah and therefore is deeply, deeply respectful towards other people. And that's what we're respecting. It's interesting. In chapter 5, he said that a Rebbe should not prevent his student from serving him. And if he does, it's inappropriate because over there he's talking about your student. And the student, you want to build character. You want to turn him into the person he's capable of becoming. But here, it's an obligation towards all of the Jewish people. Here, the Talmud Chacham should avoid coming in contact with people and compelling them to stand up. Dalit. If a Talmud Chacham is riding on an animal, it's like he's walking. So just like we stand up in the presence of a Talmud Chacham who's walking, we do it also if he's riding on an animal, whether he's on a horse or a camel or a donkey, etc. Even though you might say he's sitting, he's not walking, he's sitting. The animal is walking, he's sitting. The Rambam says, no, Reichiv is Kemahalach. If there are three individuals who are walking on the road, and we mean shloisha is you have the Rebbe, the teacher, the Talmud Chacham, and two students, harav be'emtza, the halacha says the Rebbe goes in the middle, and gadol miminai, the greater student on the right, and katan, the student who is less great, mismaila, goes on the left. Now we learned in chapter 5 that the Talmud should not walk directly adjacent to the Rebbe. So the Rambam obviously is not contradicting himself. He doesn't mean to the sides directly adjacent, but a little, moved back a little bit. Halacha vav. Haroye chacham, if somebody sees a Talmud chacham, a chacham. Let me just give a little technical dictionary introduction to halacha vav. In the time of the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish Supreme Court, and you had the main Sanhedrin sat by the Beis HaMikdash, 71 members. These were the spiritual giants of the Jewish people, who in many ways were the spiritual and halachic leaders of the Jewish people. So you had 71 members. The ordinary member of the Sanhedrin was called a chacham. Then you had the Av Bezdin. Av Bezdin meant the father of the Bezdin, the head of all of the Sanhedrin. This was the Av Bezdin. He was the greatest scholar, Torah, personality of the Sanhedrin. Above him you had, number 71, was the Nasi. The Nasi literally means the prince or the king. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Nasi, the prince. And he was considered the spiritual leader of the Jewish people of the generation. He was even above the Av Beis Din. So for example, let's take Hillel and Shammai. Hillel was the Nasi and Shammai was the Av Beis Din. Shmaya and Avtalion, this is the second Beis HaMikdash. Shmaya was the Nasi and Avtalion was the Av Beis Din. Throughout the generations, you had the Nasi, the prince, the one who was the leader of the Sanhedrin and of Klal Yisrael, and then you had the Av Beis Din. So you have the Chacham is a member of the Sanhedrin, who's a great, great sage and personality. And then you have the Av Beis Din, you have the Nasi. The Rambam says, Haroye Chacham, if somebody sees a Chacham, which is a member of the Sanhedrin, Einoy Oymed Melefonov Atshiagilei L'Arbamas. You do not stand up in front of, in his presence, until he reaches into your four Amas. Now, the Rambam already said this earlier, right? The Rambam said in Halacha Aleph, that a regular Chacham, you stand up only within Arba Amas. It could be that this is an introduction to the continuation of the halacha, and you're talking about members of the Sanhedrin. That could be why the Rambam repeats it. But actually, the Bach points out something else, that there's a different halacha here. In halacha Aleph, he said, from when do you have to stand up? When he comes into the Arba Amos. In halacha Vav, he says, do not stand up until he comes to the Arba Amos, which means don't stand up earlier. Because if you see him 40 feet away and you stand up now, it's not recognizable that you're doing it for him, because you're not obligated to stand up. People think you're standing up for another reason. You want to show that you're displaying respect to the Talmud Chacham. Says, you want to wait until he reaches your Arba Amas and then you stand up. The Kivan Shavar, once he passes Yoshev, you can sit down. Ra Av Beis Din, what happens if you see the Av Beis Din? Imid Malafonov Shirena Mirachik Malayenov. Here, you stand up even when you see him from a distance, as far as your eyes can perceive his presence, you stand up. And once he passes four Amas, after he passes you, then you could sit down. Ra'as ha-Nasi, what if you see the Nasi walking? Then, Oymed Malfon of Malayenov, here too. The moment you catch a glimpse of him, even if he's far away, you stand up. Ve'ene Yoshev, atche Yoshev b'mkaymai. And you don't sit down until the Nasi sits down in his place. Oyache yiskasa me'enov, or if you can't see him anymore, then you sit down. So this is a similar halacha to what we learned in chapter 5 about a Rebbe Muvuk, your permanent teacher. The moment you see him, you stand up, and you do not sit down until you do not see him anymore. Versus the Av Beis Din, you also stand up the moment you see him, but the moment he leaves your four Amas and he passes you, you can sit down. So we have three categories here. We have the Chacham, we have the Av Beis Din, we have the Nasi, and we have your own Rebbe, who we discussed in chapter 5. A Nasi, you're talking about the prince of the Jewish people, the person considered a spiritual leader of the Jewish people. If he forgives his honor, if he forgoes on his honor, that is fine, and you do not have to display these types of this type of respect to him. He has the power and the ability to be moichel on his covet. This is all, I'm sitting in the street, I'm sitting in the marketplace, wherever I'm sitting on the porch of my house, drinking a cup of coffee, and the Nasi walks by, I stand up. Now the Rambam shifts to the Beis HaMedrash. Jews are gathered in the Beis HaMedrash in the yeshiva to learn. K'shahanasi nichnas, when the Nasi enters into the Beis HaMedrash, because he would come to learn and teach, kalam oyim, that everybody whose presence stands up, vein en yoshvin atshayom olam shvu. They do not sit down until the Nasi tells them to sit down. K'shav Beis Din nichnas, when the Av Beis Din, who is below the Nasi, comes in, oysin loy shtei shuris, oyim din mekan omekan. So you create two rows, standing from this side and this side, they create a vacant path for him to walk by, atcha nichnas, until he walks in and he enters, v'yeshu b'mkayman, and he sits down in his place. Usharom yeshu b'mkayman. But the rest of the nation sitting around the Beis HaMedrash, they could remain sitting even when he walked in. In the street, everybody stands up in front of the Nasi and in front of the Av Beis Din. The moment you see him, you have to stand up to show respect. In the Beis HaMedrash, there's still a distinction between the Nasi and the Av Beis Din. When the Nasi walks in, everybody stands up. In order to distinguish between the Nasi and the Av Beis Din, the Chachamim said, when the Av Beis Din walks in, so the people who he's going to walk through, walk by, must stand up and two rows, and he walks through these two rows until he sits down, and then they could sit down, but everybody else could remain seated. What about the third category? What about a chacham? Even if he's a member of the Sanhedrin, he's a great, great chacham. He walks into the Beis Medrash. Kol she'agiloi ba'arba amas oymed melefonav. Here, the halach is just like if you meet him outside. Anyone, he walks into his four amas. The moment he comes into my 6 feet area, I stand up. And therefore one person is standing and one person is sitting. Because when he walks further into the Beis Medrash, near me, then I stand up. The other person can already sit down because he passed him. And so, until he enters the Beis Medrash and sits down in his space. Here there's a new category, B'nei Chachamim, the children of the Chachamim, the children of the great sages of the Sanhedrin, or Talmidei Chachamim, or their students. Here the Rambam is making a clear distinction between a Chacham and a Talmid Chacham. A Chacham is somebody who was ordained and somebody who's rendering halachic decisions and somebody who's a member member of the Sanhedrin. A Talmud Chacham is a student. He's aspiring to that, but he was not yet ordained. So Bizman Shah Rabim Tzrichin Lehem, if they are of service to the community, you know, you have children and students who are just children. But if the children actually contribute to the community, meaning they help setting up the Beis Medrash, they help their father, or maybe students who may ask questions and become part of the conversation, but they're part of public service in one way or another. Then when they come in, people don't have to stand up, but they can jump over the heads of the people until they reach their place. Jumping over that doesn't mean stepping on the heads of the people. It just means people are sitting. They would sit on the ground in the basement and they walk by. You know, you have to go over somebody and over somebody else. That is fine. But the Rambam says, nonetheless, ve'ein shvach l'talmud chacham sheikanes b'acharein. It's really not praiseworthy for a Talmud Chacham to come in the last of the Beis Medrash, so now I have to jump over everybody's heads and everybody has to see it. The proper way, the Rambam said Talmud Chacham should come first, go to your place, so you don't have to jump over anybody's heads. And some of Farshim say that Rambam is even talking about the Chacham, not only the Talmud Chacham, all of the Torah sages, it's praiseworthy they should come in first so that people don't have to stand up when they come in. Yatzal Tzarech. What happens if one of these children, or Talmidei Chachamim, a Chacham had to go out to tend to their needs? In other words, it's not just, you know, they got bored, they're not interested anymore, they had to go out. Then Chayzel Limkayma, he can go back to his place in the middle of the shir, even though he's going over people's heads. Bnei Chachamim, the children of the sages, Das Lishmaya, when they have the perceptiveness to be able to listen to the lecture of their fathers, then they come to the front, they sit in the front row, and they face their father. Das Lishmaya, if they don't have perception to hear, then they sit in front of their father or back of their father, and they face the nation just like their father, who is the teacher. Halachiches. What do we care if they sit in the front row and they look at their father and they don't understand? Okay. Think about it. Halachiches. Talmud shel yoshev lefnei rabbi tamid. A Talmud who's always sitting in the presence of his Rebbe. He sits there a whole day learning with his Rebbe, from his Rebbe. Einer ashoy lamed melfonav l'shachas v'arviz bilvat. He's not let to stand up before his Rebbe only in the morning and in the evening. You would say if the Rebbe goes out a few times, every time he comes in, the Talmud should stand up. He says you're only allowed to do it twice. Shalayei kvoide mirubim mikvoide shamayim. Fascinating halacha. So that the kavod of the Rebbe should not be superior to the kavod of Hashem. How many times do we stand up? How many times a day do we show glory to Hashem? We're makabel el malchus shamayim twice a day. Kriya Shema in the morning. B'shach b'chol b'komecha. Kriya Shema in the morning. Kriya Shema in the evening. I can't have that the kavod of the Rebbe should be greater than kvoide shamayim. The whole reason we give kavod to our Rebbe is as an extension of Kvod Shamayim, like he said in chapter 5, Meirah Rabbah Kemeirah Shamayim, and as we explained, the awe that you have to the Rebbe will always reflect the depth of the awe that he has to Hashem. The whole covenant I give to a Rebbe is because I'm honoring essentially Hashem, because my Rebbe is completely dedicated to the Torah of Hashem Yisborach. So he says, even if you're sitting with him all day, essentially you could jump up 100 times, only twice, just like Hashem Kvod Shamayim. As the Mefarshim point out, this is in the Beis Medrash. If you're sitting outside and he comes by, even if he comes a few times, you have to stand up, because here you don't want other people should feel that you're denigrating the kavod of your Rebbe. Halacha test. Mishu zakin muflug bezikna. Somebody who is an elderly person, Rambam says muflug bezikna, which means he's very old. Afal pishei nechachal. Even though he's not a sage, he's not a talmud chacham, imdim lefanav. There's a mitzvah to stand up when he walks by. Fascinating halacha. Afilu hachacham shu yelad oimer fnei hazaken muflug bezikna. And even a great chacham, but he's young. Yelad doesn't necessarily mean a 9-year-old kid. Yelad means relative to this elderly person. He's very young. Even though he's a great chacham and this elderly person is no scholar at all, he has to show him honor. If he's a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have to stand up at a full height, but he has to show him deference or a certain respect. In other words, he has to begin at least, lift himself up a little bit, this young Talmud Chacham, this budding great scholar, to show respect to an elder person. Everybody, he says, has to stand up before him. But even if you have a great Talmud Chacham who's younger, what does he do? He shows him honor. He starts standing up for him. Even an elderly person who is not a Jew, Mahadrin Oysa Bidvarim, there is an obligation to show glory to him with words, to speak words of respect, of reverence, of glory, of honor. And the Rambam says, and you also give him a hand to support him, to help him walk, to help him cross the street, to help him sit down, to help him stand up. Shenema, the Torah says, Mipnei Seva Tukum. Before the elderly, you should stand up. Kol Seva B'mashma. There's no distinction there, it seems, from the Pasuk, that every person who is an older human being, there is an obligation to stand up before them. This is the first half of the Pasuk, Mipnei Seva Tukum, and then Vadarta Pnei Zakin, which refer to the Talmud Chacham, Zeh Shekana Chachma. The Rambam doesn't give an age. What is Muflag Bezikna? What is Muflag Bezikna? So the Shulchan Aruch Yoyredeya Reish Mem Dalet gives the age as 70 years old. This is the person who's considered very old. The Birchei Yosef brings from the Arizal even 60 years old. The Rambam just says Muflag Bezikna, somebody who is very old. That's what the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Dalet give the age at 70. Says the Halacha Yud. This is a fascinating halacha. A lot of people don't know it. When an older person walks by, he's not your teacher, he's not a scholar, he's not a Talmud Chacham, there is a mitzvah to stand up, and some actually explain it as a mitzvah esse midereise. It would be a biblical commandment. The Rambam says, Mipnei Seva, Mipnei Seva, Mipnei Seva Tukum. The Kesef Mishnah says that according to the Rambam, even to show respect to an older person who is not a Jew is a mitzvah min haTorah. The Chachamim did make a distinction, whether I have to stand up, or I have to get up a little bit, or at least I have to show respect with words and give him my physical support. Halacha Yud. Talmidei Chachamim einon yoytzin lasis ba'atzmanim kol hakol bebinyin uchfirish al medina v'kayotze behen. Talmidei Chachamim, Torah sages, not obligated to go out and work with the whole community in construction work or digging of a city or of a country. Meaning, if the whole community is obligated and drafted to engage in some work of building or construction or digging, the Talmud Chacham does not go out. Why? So that he, the Talmud Chacham, should not be denigrated and lose respect b'fnei amei aretz before all of the common people. The Talmud Chacham involved in construction himself, or digging himself, this is his labor. I don't know, but the Rambam says earlier, you remember in Perek Dalet, Yegia Kapecha Kisoichel, the best thing is if you eat from the toil of your own hands. But here, where it's a public project, the Talmud Chacham ought not to go out and be engaged in it. Ve'en goyven mehen, you don't collect from them, from Talmud Chachamim. Money lebinyan hachaymas, for the construction of the walls, v'tikun ha-sha'arim, the repairing of the gates, u'schar ha-shaymrim, and the wage of the security guards, v'kayoytze behen, and other similar expenses for the protection of the city, the walls, the gates, the guards, v'loylis shuras ha-melech, you don't collect taxes from them to buy a gift for the king, ve'en mechay v'noysam litein hamas, nor do you impose upon them the taxes, whether it's the taxes that are collected collectively from all the members of the city, the citizens of the city, or the taxes that are imposed on every individual. There is the tax where the entire city has to deliver a certain amount of money as taxes, and then there's the tax that the king imposes on every single individual. The Rambam says the Talmud Chacham is exempt from both. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Hosea Perek Ches, Gam ki yitnu ba goyim ato akapzim, even when I place them, when they will be placed and given to the Gentiles, they'll go to exile, I will ultimately gather them and bring them back. Vayachelu ma'at mi masa melech v'sarim. But some of them will be absolved from the burden, from the taxes imposed by the king and the ministers. And from here we learn, who are these ma'at? Those who are involved in Torah, the Rambam says, they are exempt from taxations. I should say, among the Rishonim, there is a big argument, the Ramban holds, that the individual taxes, the Talmud Chacham does have to pay. There's also a discussion, what exactly is the definition of the Talmud Chacham? Who is exempt from all these obligations? The Shulchan Aruch says in Yoyredeya Simen Reish Mem Gimel that this is a Talmud Chacham, Toirasa Yomnasa, his entire life, day and night, he is learning Torah. This is a lot of discussions in the Poskim, exactly what level of the Talmud Chacham is really exempt from taxes. There is the Pischei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch who says that today you have to be very, very careful with this because the title Talmud Chacham is sometimes extended to people who don't fit into the category that the Rambam is really describing, and therefore today they obligate most people with taxes unless the leadership of the city have a consensus that this person should be exempt. And he says if the city appoints somebody as their Rav, he's an expert in Moira Hira, then indeed he would be exempt from taxes. And I guess you could say that this is a person who himself is a walking non-for-profit. Pun intended, he is a walking non-for-profit, truly non-for-profit. That's the real Talmud Chacham, as the Rambam said. There's no money involved, and then he becomes potter from taxes, because this is the special the special place of the Talmud Chacham in the hearts of the city and in the hearts of Hashem, who exempts him from taxes. I once heard from the Lubavitcher Rebbe a story at a Fabrengen. It was 1985, 1986. He said a story about the Rakachover Gaon. The Rakachover Gaon, Rabbeinu Yosef Rosen, he passed away in 1936, Yud Aleph Adar, in Vienna. He was the rabbi of Dvinsk in Latvia. And after the First World War, he escaped from the front. He escaped to Leningrad, which later became Petersburg in Russia. He was there in the parts of the 1920s. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe met him there in Leningrad. So he shared a story. He didn't say who he heard it from, but it sounded like he heard it from the person who was present, even though he didn't say it. He says that the Rakachava once got a letter in the mail, and this is already after the Bolshevik Revolution, so the commies are running the show, and he gets a letter that he has to pay a certain amount of ruble for taxes. So his grandson brings in the mail, and he's reading through the mail. The Rakachava says, what are these taxes for? He says, oh, they have all these taxes that they impose upon the citizens of Leningrad. So the Rakachava says, I want to hear everything, what it's for. So he starts reading the letters. The Rakachava reads the letters. He looks, he says, these taxes I'm going to pay because they're oizgehalten al pi teira. Dine de malchusa dine al pi teira. But these taxes, this is gneva, this is gzela, this is taxes that you're not mechoyev al pi teira, even in dine de malchusa dine, and therefore I'm not going to be paying these taxes. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, he was accustomed, this is how the Rakachava speaks, the whole world by him, the whole world revolved around Torah. There was nothing else outside of Torah. He thought, you know, his grandfather said so, go fight the Bolsheviks. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that the grandson said a few days later, a letter came from the government, they said they made a mistake. They made a mistake, and this tax he is exempt of. The tax that the Rakachava said that Alpi Toira, he does not have to pay. Halacha, the next part of the halacha. V'cheinim hoises chayra l'talmid chachamim. Same is true if a Talmud Chacham has merchandise and he wants to sell it. Remember, the Rambam holds the Talmud Chacham has to support himself. He has merchandise, he wants to sell it. Manichin ha'isalim kertchila. Let him sell it first. V'manichin ha'chav b'nei ha'shuk limker ha'chayim kerhu. They don't let anyone else in the market to sell the merchandise until he finishes selling. He does a sellout so he can go back to learn Torah. He doesn't have to sit here days and weeks. This is the special respect they showed him. He could sell first. Same is true if he has a din Torah and he comes to the court. There's a long line. Say there's 100 people all waiting to be able to go to the judges for their trial. In order to spare him the time so he should be able to go back to learning, you let him come first to my shivinoisai, together with the defendant or the plaintiff. You're not allowed to show special glory and treatment to the plaintiff or the defendant because they have to be treated equally. So you take him and you take his opponent, who in this case, even if he's in a ganaramis, has mazel that he's debating or he's in a dispute with Talmud Chacham, so they're both given preferential treatment and they're dealt with first so he can go back to learn. Halacha Yud Aleph. It's a great sin to mock, to scorn, to embarrass the Torah sages or to hate them, to loathe them. Yerushalayim was not destroyed until they did not scorn and mock and embarrass Torah sages. Shenema, the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim Beis Lamed Vav, Chronicles 2:36, discussing the time preceding the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. Vayiyu malayvim b'malachei ha'elikim u'boizim dvarav u'metatim b'neviyam. They are mocking the messengers of Hashem, scorning his words and laughing of his prophets, says the Rambam, Keloimar Boizim Elam De Dvorov. What the Navi in Divrei Hayamim is describing is embarrassing his words, that they scorned those who teach his words, meaning the Talmidei Chachamim. V'chein zeh sham l'Torah, when the Torah says in Bichukoisai tim osu, if you will become disgusted in my statues, there will be negative consequences. He says, Melam De Chukoisai tim osu. It means you become disgusted in those who teach my laws. You cannot stand them. You cannot tolerate the conscience that they represent, the purity that they're teaching, the fact that truth is standing up to power. That's what you're disgusted with. Somebody who denigrates, who scorns the Torah sages, does not have a portion in the world to come. This person who mocks the Talmud Chacham is included in the words in Parsha Shlach. He has denigrated the word of Hashem, and the pasuk continues, he carries, this cuts off the soul. Halacha Yud Beis. Even though somebody who denigrates the Talmidei Chacham forfeits his portion of the world to come, nonetheless, if witnesses come to Beis Din and they testify that somebody denigrated the Talmid Chacham, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he beat him up or he hit him, even with words. He said to him words that are disgusting, that are disgraceful. Chayav nidui. So then the Beis Din is obligated to put this person under a ban, to excommunicate him. And they do it publicly, which means they publicize the ban. And they also give him a financial penalty, which is litra zahav, gold, in the weight of litra. Litra was a certain currency, a certain amount of gold, which was a particular weight. Today they estimate it to be approximately 168 grams of gold. That would be the weight of the litra gold. B'chol makim, and this is anywhere, meaning in Eretz Yisrael and even in Chutz Lartz, because usually these types of financial penalties, knossim, they did not do outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the time of, even in the time of the Sanhedrin, as we will see later in the Rambam. But this is something that is universal. And they give this litra of gold to the chacham who has been scorned and embarrassed. Even if he denigrates this chacham after the chacham passed away, so he's not shamed, he's not alive anymore. Still, this is something that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable for the world, it's unacceptable for this Jew himself. He's detaching himself from his own source of life, which is Torah. So Beis Din will also put him under a ban. When do they remove this ban? When he repents, when he does tshuva. This is not an eternal ban. When he does tshuva, when he shows remorse for what he has done, they take over the ban. If the Talmud Chacham is alive, they don't remove the ban until he appeases the Talmud Chacham, who he embarrassed, because of whom they made this ban on him. Once he appeases him, they remove the ban. Because if Mishnah says, what if you have a Talmud Chacham who's maybe having a bad day, or maybe some other reasons, and he refuses to forgive him? So he says, once he has done what he has done, he asked him forgiveness, the Beis Din will still remove the ban. Even the Chacham himself can place a ban because of his own honor, which represents the honor of Torah, over on Am Ha'aretz, an ignoramus Jew who's not very scrupulous in Torah, Shehifkir boy, who spoke outrageously to him, who treated him in a way that was disgusting and obnoxious. He doesn't need witnesses to tell him the story. And it's even if the person wasn't warned. Remember, it happened to him personally. Earlier, the Rambam spoke about a Beis Din imposing a ban on a person who mocked and scorned and embarrassed a Talmud Chacham. Witnesses testified, so the Beis Din imposed a ban. Here, the Chacham himself does it. They will not undo the ban until he appeases the sage. And if he died, he can't ask him forgiveness. Then three people will undo the ban. Of course, if this person is remorseful, as the Rambam says, he has to do tshuva. Under all these circumstances, if a chacham is denigrated, mocked, scorned by an individual, and the chacham himself decides, I want to forgive him, I'm going to let this go, I'm not going to put a ban on him, the Rambam says, he, of course, has the right to do this, which is a theme that he's going to discuss later in chapter 7. Over there, he's also going to discuss, what does it mean you put a ban on a person? What are the practical ramifications? How is it done? How do you remove the ban? That's going to be in chapter 7. But the source of these words of the Rambam comes from Maseches Moed Katan Yud Zayin. Rav Papa, one of the greatest Talmudic sages, said, Tasili, I deserve credit. Never, ever have I placed any person under a ban. Apparently, people have scorned him and embarrassed him and denigrated him, but I did not do that. I want to share with you a very interesting, somebody asked a great question. And the question is, take a look at the structure of Halacha Yud Beis. In the beginning, the Rambam speaks about somebody who's mevaza de chacham. I mean, he embarrasses. Bizo afilu bedvarim chayav v'nidu. Ha mevaza sa chacham. Suddenly, when he speaks about the chacham, placing a ban on somebody because of his own honor, the Rambam uses a different word. He says, shehifkir boy, and he puts in the word ama aretz. Not anymore, he should have said shebiza oisa. He says shehifkir boy, and over here it's only an ama aretz. Earlier it's anybody, anybody who's mavaz, anybody, mavaz, don't say ama aretz. Why? One of the great rabbis who was born in France and lived in Italy, he passed away in Padua around the year 1480, is known as the Maharik. Maharik was Rabbi Yosef Kulun. He was considered one of the greatest sages and rabbis in Italy in the 15th century. He was the Rebbe of the famous Bartanura, Rabbeinu Ovadia Bartanura, the great commentator on the Mishnah from Italy, was a student of the Maharik, Rabbi Yosef Kulun. And he explains this distinction in a very powerful way. He says there's a difference of mavaza and mafkir. Mevaza means somebody comes to a Talmud Chacham and starts cursing him out. He Pashut says disgusting things. You're a low life. You're a horrible person. I don't have to get here very graphic in words. He Pashut embarrasses the Talmud Chacham personally. He may talk to him about his family, about his spouse, about his marriage, about things he did, about the way he conducts himself. Whatever, he personally denigrates the Talmud Chacham. That's bizoyah. That's the first part of the halacha. When he's embarrassing the Chacham directly and the Chacham puts him directly under a ban because of what he did to this Talmud Chacham, the Rambam changes it. You know when the Chacham is menad l'kvoyde? L'am'aretz shehif kirboy. If the Am'aretz embarrasses him personally, the Talmud Chacham doesn't have a right to put a ban on him, the Ma'arik says. You know why? Because there may be a personal ego involved. The moment my ego is involved, I got insulted, I got denigrated, I simply do not have the objectivity and the mind space to be able to say this person deserves to be in a ban. Let it be brought to Beis Din. Let Beis Din investigate and see what's happening and then decide what to do. Hifkir means that he is a person of Hefkedus. He sees this Talmud Chacham and he starts denigrating Torah. He starts denigrating all of the Talmud Chachamim. His whole vocabulary is one of absolute anarchy without any consideration of respect to anybody, and that's usually going to come only from an Am Haaretz, somebody who generally has no regard. Am Haaretz was, unfortunately, those Jews who did not learn and were not very scrupulous in Torah and Mitzvahs. He has no regard, so he embarrasses the whole institution of Torah and Talmud Chacham. Then the Talmud Chacham has a right, the Ma'arik says, to impose a ban on this person, and that's why the Rambam changes his vocabulary from the beginning of Halacha Yud Beis to the end of Halacha Yud Beis. This is in Shalos Teshuvos Ma'arik. It is very consistent with a beautiful insight of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov says, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol Talmud Chacham she'enei noikim v'noitik enocha she'enei Talmud Chacham. A Torah sage who does not take revenge and harbor grudges like a snake is not a Talmud Chacham. Really? What does this mean? So the Holy Baal Shem Tov said beautifully, he says, the Gemara says that when a serpent bites a person and ejects his venom, there's absolutely no benefit to the Nachash. An animal devours another animal because he wants to eat. But the nachash is not eating the person. So there's no personal benefit. The Gemara says they asked the nachash, Mahano yeshlecha, what do you gain from putting venom into this human being or into this animal? In other words, there's absolutely no personal hana, no personal feeling of benefit from giving venom to this person. So the Baal Shem Tov says, Kol Talmud Chacham she'enei noikim v'noitik enachash. The only way you're allowed to stand up for your honor and the honor of Torah, if there's absolutely no personal gain, no personal benefit, no personal ego, no personal agenda involved. If there is, he says, then you're not a Talmud Chacham. Einai noikim v'noitik enachash, which is actually very consistent with what the Ma'arik says. I should add two things, and that is, the Rama writes, the Rama says this, I believe, in Reish Mem Gimel, the Rama says, we do not have in our generation, and he lived in the 1500s, he was the rabbi of Krakow. Rabbi Noam Shezer, he says, in our generation, we do not have a chacham, that if you embarrass him, you should pay him a litra zahav, that the Rambam discusses, because these are the Talmidei Chachamim of a different caliber. He says it's a zakein b'muflag b'chachma ma'oid, something very unique, as the Bir Hagra explains over there in Yeridaya Simen Reish Mem Gimel. Then we also have the Taz, and the Taz says, I believe in Shin Lamed Dalet, the Taz, the Turei Zov, Reb David Segel, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, Yeridaya Simen Shin Lamed Dalet, close to the end, those are the halachas of bans. He says, and the Taz lived in the 1600s. The Taz says that in our generations, you have to be very, very, very careful with bans. It's something that we rarely, rarely will ever do because the consequences could be more catastrophic than the original actions. So this is just something to take into consideration. We're now going to go into many other bans in a few moments. And remember, do we practice these things practically? Very, very, very rarely. As the Taz points out and he elaborates on it, the most important thing, however, is the Rambam is describing what the halacha is, what the ideal is, to understand the severity of these types of actions. And the Rambam continues and he says, Yud Gimel Harav Shani Delikvoidai, a teacher who bans somebody because of his own honor, Chayavin Kol Talmidu V'Linegnigi B'Menudim, all his students are obligated to behave towards this person in the same way. In other words, this person is under a ban vis-a-vis his relationship with these students. But a student, a Talmud Chacham, who imposed a ban on somebody because of his own kavod, his Rebbe is not obligated to follow this ban. And we can understand the reason for this. The reason for this is because this person may have denigrated the Talmud Chacham, but his Rebbe would have never denigrated. He thinks, you know, he's one of the boys, and I don't have to be respectful to him. I can mock him, I can scorn him. But the Rebbe, he would be respectful to. So therefore, the Rebbe doesn't have to impose this ban on this person. But the rest of the people are obligated to follow this ban. If somebody was placed on a ban because of the Nasi, because of he scorned the Nasi, then all Jews have to follow this ban, because if he does not show respect to the Nasi, to the spiritual leader of the Jewish people, then no Jew is allowed to exclude himself or herself from the ban that was imposed on him. But what happens if... What happens if one of the Jews, one of the Chachamim, imposed a ban on this person for embarrassing him? The Nasi does not have to follow this ban. Again, we can assume that this person would treat the Nasi very respectfully. It's just this Chacham, he thinks, you know, him I don't have to respect, so the Nasi doesn't have to follow the ban. Similarly, if somebody had a ban imposed on him in his city, the city banned him, then when he comes to another city, they have to follow that ban. But if the ban was imposed in another city, the people in his city don't have to follow the ban. Why? Because this person may think, you know, another city, I'm not really part of them, I don't have to respect them, and therefore he does what he does and they place a ban under him. But in his city, he will behave appropriately, and therefore they don't have to follow that ban. You doubt. When do we say there are all these differences? He was banned because he embarrassed Talmidei Chachamim. But what happened if they imposed a ban on him because of other issues which warrant a ban that the Rambam is going to discuss in a moment? Even if a young child did this ban on him, ultimately all the Jews, including the Nasi, have to follow it, because this is not about the personal respect of the Talmud Chacham, and you could say other Talmud Chachamim he would never disrespect, until this person does tshuva from that thing for which they placed a ban on him, and then they can undo the ban. Says the Rambam al Arba Vashim Dvarim Menadin Esadam, Bein Ish Bein Isha. There are 24 things that a person does that halachically give us a right, theoretically, to impose a ban on him. I say theoretically because sometimes practically they don't do it. You have to investigate, you have to see the circumstances, you have to know if the person was doing it maliciously, if it was a mistake, if they're regretful, if they're remorseful, if they lost their temper. You have to know the consequences, what's going to happen. You know, sometimes in Jewish history, when they gave a ban, when they weren't supposed to give a ban, they just secured the fame and the publicity. They say the best thing for a book is when it's placed under a ban and becomes a bestseller. So practically you have to know when to apply this, and the Poskim discussed this, but the Rambam here did something interesting, because this is not stated in Shas. The Rambam gathered from the whole literature of Torah Shabbat, meaning all the Gemaras, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashim, everywhere we found that the Chachamim said that somebody deserves to have a ban placed upon them for a particular event or story, and he, as usually, categorized it into, compiled it into one place, and he says there's 24 things for which a person, a Jew, a man or a woman, may be placed under a ban. What are they? Ve'eluhein, here we go. The Rambam will now enumerate these 24 things, which becomes the conclusion of Perik Shishi. Number one, Aleph HaMavazes HaChacham Afil Lacham Ayseh, somebody who scorns a Talmud Chacham even after his death, as explained. Number two, Beis HaMavazes Shliach Bezdin, somebody who denigrates a messenger of Bezdin. The court sends a messenger to him to summon him, and he embarrasses and denigrates the person. Gimel HaKayr LeChavari Eved, somebody who calls his friend an Eved, a non-Jewish servant. Dalad HaMezalzel B'Dover Echad B'Divrei Seif Meitzar Chalem B'Divrei Teira, somebody who denigrates and cheapens and mocks one mitzvah of the rabbis, and certainly a mitzvah of Teira. Hey, Misha Sholcholoi Bezdin V'Kavoloi Zman V'Loi Ba. Bezdin sends him a message that he should come, and they establish a time, and he does not come. Even if he doesn't make fun of it, the Shliach Bezdin, but he does not arrive, he is potentially deserving of a ban. Vav Mishle Kibbel Lovis Hadin, somebody who came, but he does not accept the verdict of the court. Menadin Oseach Yitin, we put him under a ban until he fulfills the verdict. If he has to pay money, he has to pay the money. Zayin Mishyash Birshusidov Ramazik, again Kelev Rai, Sulam Ru'ua, Menadin Oseach Yosri Hazek, somebody who has in his property something that is potentially harmful, for example, a wild dog or a shaky, wobbly ladder, which people may use and, God forbid, hurt themselves. We put him under a ban until he removes this damaging reality. Eight. Hamoicher karkos shloy legoyman adinoy sechri kabel lof kolaynis sheyavim in agoyli yisrael chaveroi baal hametzer. If somebody has property and he has the property near the property, there's a Jew who owns property right near him. Ideally, halachically, you always have to give an option to the neighbor to buy the property first. This is called bar metzra, because if I own a property and I want to sell this property and right near this property there's a Jew who owns property, halachically, I have to give that Jew, my neighbor, first rights. What did this person do? Not only did he not sell it to this person, not only did he not sell it to another Jew, he sold it to another Gentile knowing that this person is not behaving in a civil way and he may cause a lot of problems to his Jewish neighbor. So we put him under a ban until he accepts upon himself that any financial or other harm that's caused to the Jewish neighbor, he will have to pay. Of course, the Kesef Mishnah says from Tosfos in Kiddushin Kuf Yedalet, this is only true if he had the option to sell it to a Jew who would have behaved nicely towards his neighbor and he would have gotten the same money. But if he could have never gotten the same money and as a result of selling it to the non-Jew he's getting more money, then he doesn't have to suffer a financial loss and then we don't blame him. We don't put him under a ban. But if he could have gotten the same money, why are you bringing in somebody who we know may very likely cause so much damage to the Jewish neighbor? Somebody who testifies against a Jew in a non-Jewish court, and through his testimony, he manages to extract money from this Jew, from the defendant, not according to halacha, meaning if it was judged and tried in a halachic Jewish court, he wouldn't have to pay. But because this is a non-Jewish court, a secular court, therefore, and my testimony caused him to have to pay this money, this person is put under a ban until he does not pay the money to the Jew who they took the money from. I should just add that in Choshe Mishpat Simen Chavches, the Shulchan Aruch says you put him under a ban, but the Ramos says he doesn't have to pay money because he could say, I said the truth. This Jew owes this fellow money, so what do you want from me? I said the truth, and therefore the Ramos says you don't have to take the money from him, even though you put him under a ban. However, if we find out that he lied, then he is mechuyev to pay. Yud. Fascinating halacha. Generally, when we slaughter an animal, there are certain gifts that we give to the kohen. We'll learn about them later in Rambam. The kohen himself doesn't have to give those gifts to a kohen because he's a kohen. But if the kohen is a butcher and he sells much meat in the marketplace, then he is obligated to separate those gifts and give it to another kohen. But this kohen doesn't do it. He keeps it for himself. He's placed under a ban until he gives the gifts to the kohen. Yud Aleph. Hamachalal Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli Zalf Bishul Minik. Somebody who desecrates the second day of Yom Tov in the diaspora, even though it's only a tradition. In the times when they used to establish Rish Chodesh based on witnesses seeing the new moon, so then every place in the diaspora where they did not hear the news when Rish Chodesh is, they had to celebrate Yom Tov 2 days because they didn't know the right day, as we will learn later in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh. Even after the calendar, when we know when Yom Tov is, we still have this minig, this tradition, minig of Yisenu B'yodenu Meseches Beitza Dalad, that we still celebrate 2 days of Yom Tov, 2 days of Shavuos, 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Sukkot. We're in Eretz Yisrael, they don't. Somebody who desecrates the second day, even though it's only a minig, is also placed under a ban. Why did the Rambam not put this into number 4, somebody who's mezalzel b'divrei seifrim? I think that's why the Rambam wrote, afal pishu minig. You could say it's not even a mitzvah b'divrei seifrim. It's a minig b'divrei seifrim. Still, you put this person under a ban. Yud beis ha'oisim alocha b'erev ha'pesach ha'chatzai, somebody who does work. He goes to work Erev Pesach after midday, the Chachamim wanted. Erev Pesach after midday, people should refrain from work to prepare for the Seder, and it's because of Yom Tov, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was a time of bringing the Karban Pesach. Yud Gimel HaMasker, Shem Shamayim, Levatola, Eilishvua, B'divrei Avoy. Somebody who mentions Hashem's name in vain, or he uses Hashem's name to swear about something that is inconsequential, an exaggeration, or something that's irrelevant, or something that's really not important. The example that's brought is somebody exaggerates, somebody swears in Hashem's name that he saw a fortress that reached the heavens. He was exaggerating. Don't use Hashem's name. This is something that warrants a ban. Somebody who causes, even indirectly, the public to reach a place where Hashem's name is desecrated. This is something that deserves a ban. Somebody who causes, even indirectly, he will cause the public to eat sacred karbonis outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Somebody who decides if the year should be a leap year or not, and when Rosh Chodesh should be, if it should be a month of 29 days or 39 days or 30 days. This had to be done in Eretz Yisrael. He does it in Chutz Laretz. Yud Zayin Amachshelis Iver. Somebody who places stumbling blocks before the blind can't see, and they stumble. And this, of course, is also metaphoric of somebody who gives advice to somebody who is blind, somebody who doesn't see the reality, and he gives advice that is bad for him. This person deserves to be under a ban. Yud Ches Amakavus Rav Melasos Mitzvah. Somebody who prevents the public from doing a mitzvah. Yud Tes Tabach Sheyotzes Stray from Mitachas Yodei. A butcher, and in those days the butcher was usually also the sheichet, and they find that he is selling people tray for meat. Chaf Tabach Shalei Badak Sakina Lifnei Chacham. A butcher who was also the sheichet, who does not have a Torah sage check his knife before he shechts, because the knife of the shechita has to be very smooth without any blemish. So before he uses it to slaughter animals, he has to show it to a chacham. And if he does not, we put him under a ban, because we are afraid that he's going to start relying on himself, and ultimately the shechita will be non-kosher. Today, obviously, as the poskim say, things change, because then the butchers would be the sheichetim as well. Today, the butcher is just the one who sells the meat, and he has a hechsher, but there's somebody who's designated to be a sheichet and a boydik with a rabbi who gives the certificate, who gives the hechsher, who supervises the shechita, and therefore we don't have this halacha of the butcher showing the knife to the chacham according to the circumstances of how meat is sold today. But of course, in the place where the shechita is done, the bdik is done, over there you need absolute supervision from a reliable chacham to make sure that the knife and all other aspects are kosher. Chaf Aleph HaMaksha Atzmei L'das, somebody who consciously and willingly causes an erection within his procreative organ, which can cause behavior, ultimate results that are inappropriate. Chav Beis, Misha Gerish Yisishte Vasebenei Beno Shutfus, Imaso Matana Mavien Len Lizokig Zelazeh, Kshiyavushnein Lebeis Dim Menadinoisim, somebody who gives his wife a divorce. But even after the divorce, they still have partnership, or they're doing business with each other, which basically causes them to spend time with each other, to talk to each other, to hang out with each other. Beis Din will place them under a ban, because once they're divorced, they should not be working together in close proximity. Chav Gimel Chacham Shifrim Haseira, a Torah sage about whom there are bad rumors about obnoxious or immoral behavior. This has to be investigated, and a ban should be placed on him. Chav Dalid Hamenade Misha Einoi Chayev Nidui. Somebody who places a ban on somebody who didn't deserve it. So the person who placed a ban on somebody who didn't deserve a ban, he himself ought to be banned. As the Rambam will continue the details of these halachas and what this means practically in chapter 7.